Hey listeners, it's Fran and Kyle, and you're listening to episode 5 of I Watch That. Before we start, please remember to give us a follow on our socials if you haven't already, at @I_watched_that on Twitter and Instagram. All right, so in today's episode, Kyle will be discussing the CW show Superman and Lois, and I'll be talking about HBO's The Righteous Gemstones. Let's get to it. I'll start with Righteous Gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
That show is about a family of televangelists navigating life after the death of the matriarch of the family. Follows John Goodman as the father, Dr. Eli Gemstone. Danny McBride as Jesse, Adam Devine as Kelvin, and Edie Patterson as Judy. So like the series starts off with a bang. Jesse's trying to handle being blackmailed to stop this video of him doing some pretty bad stuff from getting leaked. So like, mm-hmm. of course his two siblings get involved. It's funny what happens. The show starts off strong, and when it's revealed who's kind of behind the blackmailing, it's amazing. You never would have seen it coming. So that's kind of the gist of what The Righteous Gemstones is about. Kyle, tell us about Superman and Lois.
Yes, Superman and Lois is a CW show. Doesn't feel like one though. Mm-hmm. But it is a spinoff of the other era, other like DC TV shows on CW, but it's really much its own thing. But yeah, so basically the premise of the show is that Superman and Lois, they live in Metropolis with their two kids, their twin sons, Jonathan and Jordan. And due to a family tragedy, they move all the way to Smallville, back to Superman's hometown. And they move back to Superman's like childhood home that he used to live in when he was a child. And that's basically like the premise. And also the thing is too, is that both Clark and Lois, they lose their jobs from the Daily Planet, so they get laid off. So it's also one of the reasons they leave Metropolis, is because there's also no need for them to be there anymore because they don't have their jobs there. Mm-hmm. So the show's really just about them like adapting to Smallville's, you know, like the fact that it's a small town. Also, Clark reunites with his childhood friend, also his ex-girlfriend Lana, and then also the show's also kind of about them in a supporting kind of role about her family. And then also basically the start of the Superman kind of conflict is that there's this stranger in like this metal suit going around Earth and messing with the nuclear plants. So you don't really know what's going on with that. You find out who it is at the end of the first episode, but it's very interesting. As the show goes on, they change in directions in which would you think the villains are going to be, what the villains are doing. It's also a quite good, I feel like it's a good remix of what Superman mythology is, because I feel like they kind of mix, because I feel like they mix up a lot of the stuff from Man of Steel a little bit, like very modern, but also kind of like classic. I think that's why I like it so much, is because it feels kind of both at the same time. And the Tyler Hoechlin, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He has a great performance, and so does Elizabeth Tulloch, I think, as Lois. But yeah, that's basically the premise of the show, I would say.
Okay, cool. It sounds like a good show. I mean, if you're saying good things about a CW show, then it must be a good show.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, the other CW shows, I know they're not, like, the best. Some of them are actually good, but they're also very low in production value, right? Because that's mostly that's what people think CW is, like, low production value, which it is. Their budgets aren't very high compared to, like, other shows, especially, like, to the one you're talking about. Like, it's an HBO show.
Yeah.
Even if it's, like, even if there's no like genre elements, it's still an HBO show. It's still very expensive.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely probably the best thing CW has made in a while, because in terms of like production value too, it looks great. It's even in a widescreen format, like a movie. Like even the actors, even if most of them are a little unknown, I still feel like they really give really good performances. So I feel like it really has like a really well-made cinematic feel to it that I feel like most of the other, actually like literally almost all the other CW like superhero shows didn't really have.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've tempted me. I'm kind of intrigued with wanting to watch it.
I'm so glad I did. That's what I was trying to do.
So, you know, you've got one person. Hopefully, after some other people listen to this, they're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go watch that.
I honestly hope so, Fred. I have not convinced anyone.
Oh, well, now I have to watch it or else I'll feel bad.
I've honestly, actually, you know what? I might try to get like my dad to watch it because I know he likes Superman, but like, I don't know. We'll see. It's like I get why people don't want to watch it because, like, you know, it's technically a network show. It's not a streaming show, so it doesn't have that like that oomph to it. But I don't know. I think it's really good.
Oh, you know what? I trust your recommendation when it comes to like film or TV. So yeah, why not? Why not? You know, what do I have to lose? It's not Riverdale, right? So I know you watch that.
It's not. It's not Riverdale. I know Riverdale's not good, but like, I don't know. Honestly, I have to admit though, I'm kind of getting tired of that show. I might drop it.
Good.
You happy now, Fran?
Yeah. Because like, I know they basically used just like the characters of Archie. Like they didn't follow any plot line whatsoever.
No.
They used the characters and did this weird teen melodrama, weird bullshit. I hate it. If anyone from the show is listening, I hate your show. I hate it. Absolutely.
You know what I realized, actually? I realized that I'm watching a better, like, dark, serious, like, high school show. It's Euphoria. Yeah. So I think there's no point in Riverdale anymore.
No, Riverdale is just, like, I've seen some tidbits, like, when, what's his face? Cole Sprouse as Jughead's, like, have you ever seen me without the hat? It's stupid. This is like that weird little thing he said. It's like, come on, chill guy. Jughead never brings up his hat, or if he does, it's like not even a thing. Like, leave it alone. But I digress. Shouldn't be talking about that awful show. So we'll go into our next topic of like favorite, least favorite character. So with the Righteous Gemstones, my favorite is John Goodman's Dr. Eli Gemstone. He's the dad. He's like, he's the patriarch, and he seems like he's one of the only ones who's actually in it for the whole like faith of it all. Like, of course he likes the power, he likes the money and stuff, but I think he also just does it to stay closer to his wife because she passed, right? So maybe it's like some sort of a cathartic thing. Like, it keeps him close to those memories of him and his wife and them doing their sermons and preaching together. So, and he's like the only one with his head on right and his head on straight. Like, his kids are absolute animals, except for Kelvin, who's played by Adam Devine. Because
I love that guy,
because he's just so funny, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a funny guy, and he seems like he's the only sibling at the beginning of the series who's like actually in it for loving what he does,
like a decent person.
Yeah, like he's like a decent person. <I thought. laughs> And like, he, I don't know how to explain it, but like, he's got this friend Keith, and he saved him from being a Satanist or something. So they've That's got intense. This like cute friendship going on, which I low-key think is like not really a friendship. I hope it turns into something else. I don't know how his dad would feel about that, but ooh,
probably not very good.
But it's just like funny. Yeah. And Keith is like that, you know, we all need one of those silly characters. And then I like BJ, because BJ is the daughter Judy's boyfriend or fiance. And he's just like, he takes it from her. She just shits on him all the time, metaphorically, obviously. Like, she's crazy. I don't know why anyone would want to date her. Like, just watching her as a character makes me
interesting.
Like I hate her. And I don't, like, she's done some crazy fucked up stuff. So like, it's warranted.
So it's giving me like, it's giving me like kind of like Tom Shiv kind of vibes.
Yeah, kind of like Tom and Shiv, but she's like even more crazy because she's not just like, it's like you have to watch it to know, you know.
Okay.
And then like my least favorite are Baby Billy. So Baby Billy is their mother's brother. And he's kind of like corrupt as well. Like he only goes to the family when he needs something, and the same with his sister when she was alive. So like he doesn't really care about anyone except for himself. And then like if he cares about you, it's because he's wondering what he can get out of you financially.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's just weird. He's like 80 dating like a 20-year-old or something. The actor's not 80. They kind of age him up a bit, but it's just like he's this creepy, like probably supposed to be 70 or 60 or something, but it's just like kind of gross. And then the brother, older brother Jesse, kind of start off not liking him, but then it kind of changes because again he's also like he's kind of just a dick. That's kind of it.
Go on, Fran.
Oh no, you can go ahead.
Oh no, what's the actor again? I forget his name.
Danny McBride.
That's what it is. Yeah. So he's not just surprising.
Right. He's just the older brother and he's an asshole and he's a dick and he's even like jealous of his own son. Like it's just ridiculous. He's just a big whiny baby. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, Judy, I don't like her. She's unhinged. She's very strange. I don't like what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to watch it to understand what I'm talking about. I can't, she's just crazy. That's all. She's just crazy. And that's enough about the characters I'm talking about. who are your favorite and least favorite?
Well, I think it's quite obvious what the favorite is. It's just the title characters.
Yeah.
I really like their version of Clark and Lois, also because it's like a more lived-in version, because like they literally have been like together for maybe 20-ish years raising like 14-year-old sons. And there's even there's a wonderful we'll talk about that later, but there's a wonderful episode detailing like their like the early part of the relationship and how they met and all this stuff, and it's like so well done, and it made me like fall in love with them. They're so good. I don't know, just everything about them. Just like, I like the way Clark is. He's very sweet, nice, but also he feels like a human, you know, he feels, which I feel like is sometimes not very done in other versions of Superman, where they feel like in Man of Steel, where they made him feel isolated. Like this guy isn't, obviously. He's been living in you know, he's an alien, but he's been living on Earth for like basically his whole life. He's a baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they really give him this like, oh, especially when he goes back to Smallville, there's like some episodes where like there's traditions, like there's this like a festival, I think, some in one of the episodes, and he's like talking to his sons about how he used to go to it when he was a kid, and it was so endearing. I think that's what he is. He's very endearing and sweet. And then Lois is very like, which is interesting, she can be very nice and sweet, but she's also very like has a very commanding presence, and that's what I love about her. She's a very commanding presence, doesn't like takes no shit from anyone, you know. She's so strong, and I love that.
Yeah.
My least favorite, I think it's mostly my least favorite are just these characters that don't have much development and you don't see them much. One of them is Chrissy, I think her name is. I'm pretty sure it is. She works at like the Smallville paper. Uh-huh. And eventually she works with Lois because they start working together. I don't like dislike her, but she's probably just my least favorite because you don't see much of her, and she doesn't have like, I think it's because the only link to the main characters is that she just works with Lois. So it's not as good as like the other connections of the supporting characters. Like I really like Lana and her family.
Okay.
I think maybe my other least favorite character, even though actually I don't think he's my least character. I do like him too. His name's Kyle.
No.
Which I thought was really funny when I first watched it. I'm like, oh my god, there's a guy named Kyle? There's like never a guy named Kyle in shows. Especially like an actual character who appears in every episode. Never happens.
Oh, wait, no. You gotta watch American Horror Story Season 3. Evan Peters, Kyle.
Oh,
you're right. He's not in every episode. So
they told you, see it. I knew it. But this guy's in every episode, and I really like him. He has a lot of like a backstory. He seems like he was an alcoholic, had some trouble, and it seems like even in this episode they're introducing some other stuff. Seems like he might have been I don't want to spoil it, but it seems like he's had he's having trouble in his relationship with his wife. He was Clark's ex. But I would say honestly, really no least favorite characters. Maybe Chrissy, because she's not like the most well developed. But I would say every character, even the supporting ones, are like really well developed, and just like really well written. And I like all the performances the actors give. They're really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, Fran, what's a favorite storyline character arc from Righteous Gemstones?
Even though I kind of said I didn't like Jesse because he's like a whiny baby and all that stuff. And, my favorite like storyline, more like an arc, is like Jesse with his son Gideon. Because at the beginning of the show, it's, you know, he's got two kids, but then there's like this weird aura that there might be a third one, and that there's something going on with him, like he's not around. And then that turns out to be the case. His older son Gideon's not around. He kind of left the family and the church life to go try to be like a stunt actor in California.
Hmm.
And the father doesn't like it because, one, whatever, I guess you don't go back on the church, first of all. You know how these people are.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
And then, two, his younger kids kind of think their older brother's really cool, and that pisses him off. I don't know why. I guess he's just jealous that, I don't know, that they think he's cool, and that, like, so then all, right, it's weird. And then
like a normal, like, thing.
And then his wife is very protective of the older son, but he kind of just is like, he betrayed us kind of thing. He left the church, like, fuck that guy. But that's like your son, you know. So, but as the show goes on, and then Gideon comes back into their life, it's a little rocky at first, but then it gets better. And then the end of the season 1, it's kind of really cute. I like what happens. They kind of make amends. It's nice.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah. Not really a spoiler, but kind of, but whatever. Not, I don't,
it's
think
fine.
So.
It's fine.
So what about you? Or yeah, you go on.
Yeah, I would say, okay, it's probably, you know what, I can't really say too much because it's a giant spoiler. It's near the end of the season though, but it's basically a revelation that Clark has about his family that's quite huge, quite big. Also, not from the comics, a very original thing. Mm-hmm. So like they kind of just made it up for the show.
Oh.
And yeah, I would say they basically made it up. Like maybe they got some things from the comic, but like even the name of the characters are like completely made up and original. But like how it changes him, and I think really the entire like arc of his, the character arc of the entire season is really him having trouble with and fighting between him being, you know, like him being like a human on Earth, and then also his loyalty to being a Kryptonian still, and like all that stuff. Because I can't really say, I don't want to say too much because like I don't want to spoil it, because also there's like a giant twist at the end. But basically I would say that's like my third part of the arc, is him fighting between the, like both sides kind of, because I think when it happens to any character, it's always so good. But I would say definitely that for sure. And I think another thing is probably just Lois adapting to like Smallville, and really, because you know she was like, she's like, it's really shown in this show that basically she's like, and like we're like worldwide famous journalist. Like she won a Pulitzer Prize. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah. She's like, she won that. So she's like,
okay.
Like, remember when they said that? I was like, really? She did? That seems, she's kind legit. Of massive. She's legit. It's like what I said before. She's strong. She's independent. She gets stuff done, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny because like Clark's also a journalist, but he is not that good.
No.
But you know, he's just not, that's what I like about him, is he's more like me. He's not really like, really ambitious. He's just more like endearing and sweet and cares about his family more.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I would say that, and then also the family stuff with Clark trying to Clark with dealing with his sons, and how, I won't spoil who gets powers, but one of them gets powers, and him, ooh, dealing with that, which, mm-hmm, would be kind of interesting to deal with, because like he you know, had dealt with the same thing, but now he has to teach his son what he went through.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are like definitely like my favorite arcs of the season. There's other characters I like, but those are probably my favorite character arcs and storylines in the first season anyways.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what about your favorite episode and like, why was your favorite? Because both of our shows are in their second season right now. So
favorite
episode's better to go off of.
So favorite episode definitely, as I mentioned before, is basically, it's just a huge flashback episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's episode 11. I think it's called, here, 1 second. Just going to look it up real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. Yeah. It's called A Brief Remnants in Between Cataclysmic Events. Very big wording, but it's just, it's because it's basically takes place, these flashbacks takes place between like a very prominent point in the storyline. So that's why it's called that. But yeah, it's my favorite episode because it really directly focuses on Clark and Lois, the whole episode. And it focuses on like how they met, when he revealed Lois that he's Superman, which he didn't do right away. He only did it basically when he chose to propose to her. But it shows, and then even shows when they're like, when like she gets pregnant, shows like very important moments in their life. Mm-hmm. And I think it was also, it shows not even just a Clark and Lois, it shows also some moments with Clark and his mom, which is like really great. Even showing a point, which this is like no spoiler, everyone knows this, that his father dies from a heart attack.
Yeah,
his adoptive father, Jonathan, and how it really like shaped him. You know, also the fact that he can't. I think that's what people have a problem with Superman, is that he can just save everybody, and he's like, you know, he can do anything, but you know what, he can't stop health problems.
Yep.
So, that's the thing that everyone goes through. Everyone has to go through that. You know, everyone has to go through their parents or any relative having health problems and having to deal with maybe possibly losing them, right? So
yeah.
I think that was like a wonderful moment in the show. That's why I think those are the best moments in the show, when it deals with just him dealing with like normal human moments that everyone has.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's definitely my favorite episode, and why I love that episode. I remember when, like, I loved all the other episodes before that, but when I saw that episode, I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is like one of the best episodes of like from last year, definitely for me. Like, I always remember watching that. It was such a good episode. And even the twist, like the change in direction at the end, that's where it happens at the end of that episode, and it's huge. It's also gives you like a really cool action sequence that looks very cinematic at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. But what kept me watching, I would say, is first off, there's like a giant like cliffhanger ending, so I wanted to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm watching season two now, I'm really loving it, because they basically just, the cliffhanger was basically just adding another family element, and I think that's what this show works best as. It's basically a family drama, almost basically like yours, right?
Okay.
But also, you know, it's still a Superman show, so there's like big stuff happening.
Of course.
But yeah, what kept me watching is really just all the human moments, especially in episode 11. The effects are like really good. Maybe not all the time they're amazing, but when they like are really good, you're like, damn, that looked really good. Like that basically almost looked like a movie. Like it was very close to it, you know?
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Like it reminds me of when I watched like The Flash from like, oh my God, which is crazy. I watched that like 10 years ago, like the pilot episode. I can't believe that was 10 years ago almost. But it reminds me of that. It gives me the same feeling. And I feel like with the second season, I'm still having that feeling. I still feel like it's having some momentum, and also like Superman has so many villains, so I feel like they won't have a problem with losing any story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really one thing I'm glad about. And I think with sometimes other superhero shows that aren't very, that don't have very prominent comic book backstories, like for example, like Arrow, they kind of like make up their villains, but like with this, they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's what I'm really excited about, is them continuing to like also to show how they can, first off, make up villains or just make up storylines or just remix it. Like, I think that's really when a superhero show or movie does well, is when they remix it, not like completely adapt exactly what was said in the, what was in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, that's why I kept watching for sure. What about you, friend? What's your favorite episode and why? And what kept you watching?
No problem. We all have,
like, a few us.
We all have our days. I have them every day. But my favorite episode,
yeah,
episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Better Is the End of a Thing Than Its Beginning. So that's kind of when you see Jesse's change of character. That's kind of when it, like, you kind of see it kind of, you know, obviously it's a slow thing. It comes up over time, right? As the show goes on, you kind of see little changes, but it comes full circle kind of in that episode. Like, that's when he does something you didn't think he'd do, because there's like a lot of shit that by the end of the episode, like, spoiler, but not really, because it came out years ago, so you should have watched it by now.
Yeah, it was like 3 years ago.
Like, spoiler, like, you know, him, I can't remember if him and his wife are going to be divorced or something, like, but it's just like he's kind of at this place in life where he didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then this is really when he makes amends with a certain somebody, so it's quite nice to see that happen. And then also it flashes back to when their mom, Amy Lee, died in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And it really shows how she was the glue that kept this family together, because when she dies, they all go apeshit insane. It's like, like, they're just so overcome with emotion. And then you watch it and you're like, okay, well, this is why they have no direction and why the father can barely keep their family together, because, I don't know, it's just something about your mom, I guess, that keeps everything together.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So that was kind of like why it was my favorite episode. I like the flashbacks, though, because the mom's a fun character. It's sad that we only get her in flashbacks, but it's nice we get something. So that's always fun.
That's nice.
What kept me watching was the plot. Like, it was interesting. I've never really seen much about televangelists. So mm-hmm. This was like, that's why I'm like, ooh, this looks cool. It was like, it really showed, like, we already know that profession is all about corruption and greed and money.
Well, but like, yeah.
But like, being able to see it in a show, it was like, cool. Like, I'm not saying the show is like real, but, you know, there's always some truth to what you watch. So it was cool kind of to see that, about how like this mega church on just a plain weekend can rack in $1 million.
That's insane.
And then on an Easter weekend, up to 3 million or more.
What? They're so rich then.
And that's happening like in real life in the States, in like America, like this happens. So I think that's like insane that that happens. And then what, they don't pay taxes or whatever, but that's a whole other conversation that
we
don't
have
because churches are exempt for some reason, the Lord's work, quote unquote.
So whatever. I'm guessing that's why televangelists do it, because it's a huge flaw in the system, because they can just get away with
it. And then they can say things and be like, you know what, the Lord would love right now if everybody emptied their pockets into that donation bowl, and people will do it.
Yep, I know. It's not the best.
No. And then what also kept me watching was John Goodman, because it's John Goodman.
Oh my god, I love John Goodman.
Right, and he's such a, like, he's got this, like, I don't know, he's perfect for the role of like a televangelist. I don't know, he's got the voice, you know, and he can do it well. Yeah, that's what kept me watching. Like the plot, like the actors. That's it for me and the Righteous Gemstones. I think that's kind of like the end of our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Of our discussion.
Discussion. Okay, well. Well, thank you for tuning in to episode 5 of I Watched That. Our socials are linked in the episode description, so please give us a follow. You can also participate in this week's poll, which can only be found on Spotify. We'll catch you next week with a hot new topic.